You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Hey guys, Chris Cox here, owner and operator of OneOfUs.net. Okay, full disclosure here. I originally signed up to go see the screening of Overboard, the remake of Overboard, where it was playing about a billion miles away from me on the southeast south part of Austin ever. And I was like, not so much dreading the movie, although I had not seen the original at that point at all. But I was dreading the movie, kind of. At the last minute, they added a screening for another movie that doesn't even come out till the end of the month, but one I was super looking forward to, this movie Upgrade. I was like, oh yeah, I gotta go see Upgrade instead. But our crew went down there and were strangely excited to see Overboard. I guess maybe they grew up with it, like, as something. I don't know. They saw it on cable and liked the original one. I'm like, I'm a huge Kurt Russell fan, but I got to be honest that I never had any desire to ever watch the original. Before I knew I wasn't going to be going to see it, I ended up watching about 20 minutes of the original, which I had never actually gotten around to, and I was having a very hard time. I'm still feel like maybe this wouldn't have been my movie, and you guys know I'm infamously hard on comedies, but I was very surprised that on the whole, the crew that we sent down there, they liked it more than they didn't. You guys might be surprised to hear their review. Before we get to that, though, real quick, big thanks to all our subscribers. You guys are the reason we're out there. You're the reason that we are able to keep this going. I'm overwhelmed by the amount of support some of you guys have been showing, but we need more. We need to keep going in order to make this site where we can continue to exist. It really is just that simple. Without subscribers, there is no oneofus.net, and we need you guys. Show your support, even if it's the $2, $5, $10, or $25 level, whatever it is, whatever you can afford. Please become a subscriber and help us out here at oneofus.net. I can't thank you enough for it. And you guys let me know what you want to see on oneofus.net. That's what the forums are for. You can email me at oneofusnet@gmail.com. Also, big thanks to our beer sponsor, Oscar Blues Brewing Company. They actually have a brew pub that's amazing right near my house here in Austin at 10420 Metric Boulevard in Austin, Texas, and where they have everything there, including seasonals on tap. They're great. I'm a big fan of quite a few of their beers, including the first beer, craft beer ever put in a can, Dale's Pale Ale. Delicious stuff. I like, pop, tasty. Love it. And we're all really, really just so thankful that these guys have decided to hook us up, and we will be having events eventually at the brewery. So all the more reason to support them, because sooner or later, if you want to come out and party with oneofus.net, you better like go ahead and decide you like Oscar Blues Brewing Company products, because we'll be doing events at a place where that's all they've got. And there's a lot of them, so that you shouldn't have any trouble finding something for you. We had a toasted cork coconut stout, I think it was, there the other day that was like, oh my God, this is so good. Anyway, without any further ado, let's get into the review that I'm not actually on, except for occasionally shouting from the peanut gallery in the background, for Overboard. And I think you're going to find it as funny as I did. Check it out.
I'm Zach, and this is the Books and Beer podcast. Oh, wait, no, it's not. It's the Overboard podcast, and I kicked Chris off because he didn't get to see it. He got to see a cooler movie.
We kicked Chris overboard.
We kicked him overboard.
I can't believe you missed that opportunity.
Was there not ever a novelization of the original?
Oh, yeah, is there a novelization? We should get on that, because we got Miguel here from Book Boys.
Yeah, this is Miguel. I'm just going to say yes.
Yes.
Without any factual.
We're going to cover it. We're going to give it 8 out of 8. Yeah. Overboard, people drowned.
Yeah. Lifesavers.
Man.
Dude, you're 0 for 2.
Sorry.
And, all right, so it's starring Goldie Hawn. Oh, wait, no, it's not starring Goldie Hawn. It's
starring the modern Goldie Hawn, which would be Anna Faris.
True. In fact, I think Anna Faris has, like, more charm than Goldie Hawn.
You obviously haven't seen younger Goldie Hawn.
Yeah, but
like,
I have seen
like Cactus Flower and where she started.
The original.
Goldie Hawn was like totally charming. Even like in her Laughing days, have you ever seen reruns of Laughing? Like she was totally charming. And young Anna Faris reminded me of young Goldie Hawn, and I feel like this is Anna Faris about the same age Goldie Hawn was in Overboard. I feel like it works, particularly with the role reversal. It's interesting.
Yeah, no, I agree there. I like it. I like her role more than Goldie Hawn. Yes.
They remade Overboard for some reason, and
and it kind of works.
For me, it works.
Because
JC loves the original Overboard. JC is probably the biggest Overboard fanboy.
Yeah, only because I've
in
seen
Austin.
It. I've seen it a lot. Yeah, because I've seen it a lot as a kid, and it's probably more me wanting dealing with my mortality more than anything, because it's really one of the first movies. I'm 36 years old, and movies that I liked have been remade before, but this is like, I don't know. I watched this a lot as a kid, and it's like the first time something's like really needlessly being remade, and it's like, why?
How big is that Goldie Hawn chess piece you got? It's pretty nice, man.
Yeah.
I'm probably the only person who hasn't seen the original, and I'm kind of glad because I can take this movie on its own merit, and I really liked it. I went in not expecting a lot, which is probably what you have to go to in this movie.
Well, it's a rom-com, and it's a remake of a rom-com, so my expectations kind of couldn't be any lower.
And yet they make reference to the original in this, so it's kind of a reboot call in a way, but they always do that these days. We're just like, it's not completely a remake because the other one still exists in this timeline.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in the original, the same plot for both of them. Basically, you have someone who's rich, who's a jerk, who fires the other person who comes on their boat to do work.
Yeah.
Fires them in such a way where they're owed money. In both cases, the rich person gets drunk, falls overboard, has amnesia, and their family member refuses to claim them. And so, because they're owed money, they're like, well, hey, I will get work from this person to kind of pay off this debt that I'm owed, and yet they fall in love.
That's what they meant by overboard. Oh, okay. I get you. I get you.
But in this case, they actually reversed the roles because in the original, you had Kurt Russell, who had three sons and a dead wife, and in this, you have Anna Faris, three daughters and a dead husband. And in that case, the rich person was Goldie Hawn, who had a complete jerk of a husband who was cheating on her, and he just wanted to, spend time without her. So he pretends that that's not his wife and then moves on and goes and sails across the Atlantic. In this case, you have Eugenio Derbez, whose sister, wants control of their grandfather's company and refuses to claim him because the grandfather, who's supposedly on his deathbed, has indicated that he will get control of the company, but if he's out of the picture, then she might. So
that's it. That's the we don't need to do anything else.
Yeah. The nice thing about if you've never seen the original and you're watching this one, it's not as predatory is just for lack of a better word, but like the one in the 80s, it's really just kind of like, yeah, she owes him some money, but she doesn't really owe him that much money, and it's really more him at a cruelty. That he's gonna stick it to this.
Well, it's
this was more problematic too.
In the 80s, throughout the 80s, snobs versus slobs was a total thread that ran throughout it, and it was tapping into that, like, let's stick it to the rich people. And this, there's less that these days, even though there probably should be, because rich people suck, and we should be rioting in the streets and be reclaiming the wealth. But let's table that. Anyway, May Day was yesterday, International Workers' Day, not recognizing the United States. That's bullshit. Anyway, all right. So coming back to this, because
overboard.
Yes, overboard.
Don't go overboard. Yeah.
So Eugenio's never worked a day in his life. He's just
he's like a womanizer.
Slob. Yeah, there's definitely less. Let's punish the rich slob. There's a little bit of that, and that they give him a menial construction job. But it turns out that he really likes his coworkers, and he gets along well with them. He actually, learns like an honest days.
Well, it's like the slow, that kind of stuff. The gradual. Yeah. Like it starts off, and it's so hard. And his first day is just breaking his back, and then it's just like that fun. Watching him, becoming a better human being, which is just easy to watch. It's just like potato chips.
Eugenio is so good at like physical comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you saw, was the one before this, How to Be a Latin Lover.
How to Be a Latin Lover.
Which, again, was a romantic comedy that I didn't think I was going to like. And it was better than I thought it was going to be. Don't you dare judge me, Chris.
He saw it.
Yeah. So, and I think he's not the best actor. Neither is Anna Faris, but this is an example of your supporting cast lifting up the movie. I think Vito freaking saved the movie. The laborer who loved Godfather.
He's funny. Yeah.
He's so hilarious.
I think Bobby, played by Mel Rodriguez is probably my favorite of the supporting characters of the coworkers.
Which one was Bobby?
Bobby was like the boss. He's like, my wife did not cheat on me.
Yeah. He's so good. Yeah.
That's definitely a strength that this one has over the original. The original was pretty much the main characters. And there was a couple of other people around, but they were extremely menial, didn't really have very much to do with anything. With this one, she's got a best friend in Eva Longoria who kind of helps, you know, with the criminality.
She's exactly the one who suggests it to Anna Faris.
Her husband, played by the guy you just mentioned, he's super funny. Mm-hmm. The coworkers at the construction site are really, really funny. Like, everyone is actually given kind of a lot to do here, and it served the movie well.
Yeah. And I may be a little bit biased because it was kind of a bilingual movie.
Yeah.
And just hearing Spanish spoken, that Mexican Spanish spoken, just makes me so happy.
Yeah.
To see it on a big screen.
That's one of my favorite parts about Eugenio's movies so far, is that even when they lean English speaking, he's still, you know, like, there has to be at least some Spanish speaking and at least some people who are solely speaking Spanish on the screen, which I think is great.
Well, it's so, and so
it's still funny in Spanish.
Yeah. It's funny. And I think it's like, it's very like paint by the numbers, but adding that bit of, like, that it makes it different, makes it unique.
Yeah.
So that I have really appreciated that too.
He's like the Mexican Tyler Perry, just says doesn't dress like a woman.
Yet.
don't put him in a corner.
All right. So maybe we should go into final thoughts. George, what did you think?
Overall, I really liked it. I found the leads charming. I think the chemistry wasn't completely there. I didn't completely buy the romance. But at the same time, with romantic comedies, you just kind of accept that they're going to end up together. By the time they actually shifted into romance, I also thought it was interesting that this kind of, you get to the whole issue of consent and whether or not someone who is having sex under false pretenses, like, that can never be fully consented to. And in the first one, you know, Kurt Russell really tries to tell her the truth before they have sex for the first time. And
spoilers.
And is really making an effort. Spoilers for a movie from 30 years ago. But, you know, in this, like, it feels like it doesn't even get that far. But I think for most people, because the roles are reversed and it's, you know, a woman having sex with a man, that people will have even less of a problem with it, even though
I think it helps.
Yeah. So, spoiler, they end up having sex. But I feel like that's still kind of a thorny issue, and you're going to get at least something pieces. I think if we had a woman here, she would probably more give it her endorsement or not, more than I can. But I feel like, you know, the thorny issue of consent is even less well handled here to a certain extent.
I did like how it was handled in the beginning, where she is like, where he definitely wants to, and she's like,
yeah, but no, she doesn't want to, and then, but like, once she has feelings for him, but it shouldn't really change, you know, the fact that, look, you know, you need to know that you are not who we've been telling you are, and that this, you know, these are the facts of your life, that, you know, you're a billionaire, so you can literally have sex with anybody. Like, informed consent is still important, period. You know, so, like, that's my biggest problem with the movie. Other than that, I enjoyed it. I found it charming throughout. I really liked the supporting cast. It actually has a very similar feel. I mean, the first one was directed by Carl Reiner, right?
I think so.
Who also directed, like, Summer School and The Jerk and, if I'm remembering correctly, Man of Two Brains and stuff. And, you know, it has kind of almost a TV comedy feel. And, like, this director also directed a lot of TV, and Carl Reiner had a TV background also. So It feels that way, but it's also, you know, ultimately just charming. The leads work for me. It comes together nicely. It is pretty by the numbers as far as remake goes, but, I mean, ultimately, you either like it or you don't, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. I would give it 7 out of 10 destroyed carpet cleaning machines.
Ah.
Nice.
Miguel?
I'm a guy and a guy who doesn't tend to like romantic comedies. My wife hates that, but this movie I think did it right, or for me. And there was not so much on the romance, more on the comedy, which I appreciate. I really love Eugenio Derbez in the two movies that I've seen him in. His acting isn't the greatest, neither is Anna Faris's, but like I said, the supporting cast was great. I didn't see the original, and I totally understand people hating remakes, because, you know, I love Halloween. When they made the remakes, I was so incensed, right? But I've come around on it, and I think if you've seen the first one, you can still see this one and love it. They're two separate things. I would give it probably 8 out of 10 lifesavers.
Casey?
Yeah, I mean, as far as on its base level, it's an okay movie. A good amount of it made me laugh. To compare it to the original, yeah, I definitely agree with George in that the chemistry wasn't really there. And that's a huge hurdle that this movie had going against it anyways, because it was up against Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, one of the most legendary Hollywood couples of all time. So the chemistry was there for the original, not so much this time. You know, I like the supporting cast in this one. I think that carried this movie a long way. But because I'm someone who does like romantic comedies and does appreciate the romance in it, I felt like it was too by the numbers. And there are a couple scenes here that are literally line for line from the original. And I could even hear people in the audience we saw it with quoting it, like knowing what line was about to come next. And for a remake, that's kind of always, that's not really where you want to go. And so in light of that, you know, between this and the original, I would take the original every time. And there aren't a lot of remakes I would say that about. For the most part, I kind of give a remake a chance. And a lot of times I can appreciate the nuance that a remake brings. I can appreciate the nuance in this one here, but I still much prefer the original. I would give it 5 out of 10 bloody stools.
I enjoy the original a lot, but I think it's just, again, like you were saying, I saw it all the time on TV as a kid, so I kind of have that in the back of my mind. But I really enjoy just watching Eugenio's like journey from like being a shitty drunk, you know, playboy, to being like a cool dad that like takes care of his family. That's awesome. Yeah. But like the way Anna Faris kind of manipulates him, it still feels awkward. Like, she's just using him to get past this nursing exam, and like she's like a huge dick to him for like the first half of that, even though he's like trying really hard. Or well, eventually he starts trying.
One of the best parts about that is it leads to the scene with the coworkers. We're like, yeah, we all feel that way. We all feel like we're just a paycheck.
Yeah, that was.
Like, I really like that.
That's some of the nuance that I can appreciate in this one.
There were a couple of pretty funny moments. And then, you know, pretty normal paint by the numbers.
I mean, are you looking for that revolutionary romantic?
No, comedy? No, I wasn't. I had really, really low expectations. But that said, I'll give this 6.5 free hats out of 10, because I got myself a free hat.
Yeah, I didn't think your face could be more punchable.
We're all jealous of the hat. We all want the hat.
You're supposed to respect the captain.
I'm the captain now. Look at me.
Yeah, move over.
Damn it.